We are grateful for this time that we have to spend together as brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know that the sermon topic is the joy of the cross. I appreciate the songs that we sing that emphasize the joy, the prayers that were prayed that emphasize the joy that we have as brothers and sisters in Christ, as children of God. With what kind of people do you associate? Obviously, you like to associate with your brothers and sisters in Christ, or you wouldn't be here. And we're thankful for that. I've seen such a growth in that love over the past few years that has been amazing. And I'm thankful for that. You probably like to associate with loving and fun-loving people. Those who help you draw nearer to Christ in your spiritual pilgrimage. And Paul pointed out the contrast between godly and ungodly people in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 32 and 33. If the dead are not raised, in his discourse on the resurrection, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. So if we believe that Jesus was resurrected, even as we sang a few moments ago, then certainly we are going to want to be an encouragement to people who are living a good life. But we're not to completely disassociate ourselves from people who are people of the world, or we will never convert anyone to Christ. But we come together on days like this, on the Lord's Day, in order to encourage one another. Come in from the evil of the world and come into our protective place so that we can grow, so that we can bring glory to God in all that we do. It is exciting when you're around people who really enjoy what they're doing, especially in Christian service and fellowship. And we see many people who are doing many things and enjoying doing them. And for that, we are grateful. But there is a great deal of difference in the attitude of people who love what they are doing and those who are miserable in what they are doing. Whether that is in the workplace or whether that is in a family or whether that is in the church. But we need to enjoy our Christian life. And people who truly enjoy what they are doing have problems, just like everyone else, but they handle them differently. They handle them through Jesus Christ. They handle them with the help of God. And they handle them with the love and help of their brothers and sisters in Christ. Christ found joy, even in his suffering. And I know that doesn't sound possible, but no one has suffered like Jesus did. And he not only endured the painful agony of death on a cross, but he also bore the heavy weight of every sin that every person had committed in the past and that every person would commit in the future. And he died with that weight upon himself. Listen to Paul's writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He made him who knew no sin to be sin, or one translation says to become sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. What a great sacrifice he made. Listen to the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. Now notice, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus suffered joy. Not joy in pain, in the pain of the cross, but joy in knowing that he had accomplished everything that his Father sent him to do. And aren't we filled with joy when we know that we are facing the temptations of Satan and call on the power of God, and through that strength we're able to overcome those temptations? We have joy in our hearts. Jesus was filled with joy because his physical death made spiritual life available to everyone who would submit to his Father completely, just as he had done. We know from Scripture that Paul also found joy even in his suffering. Before Paul became a Christian, he lived a life of luxury and honor as a Hebrew of Hebrews and a Pharisee of Pharisees. But after he became a Christian, he lived a life with many struggles and sufferings. Now notice, yet to Paul, this was grace instead of disgrace. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul wrote, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Paul paid a tremendous price to be a disciple and an apostle of Jesus Christ. And I wonder if we were called on to pay the kind of price that Jesus paid or that Paul paid, would we be willing to pay that price today? Listen to the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 11, beginning verse 23. When you think about what he went through and what Jesus went through, it's amazing. He said, in far more labors and far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death, 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. He goes on to say, I have been on frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me of concern for all the churches. You know, you think of if Paul had remained where he was before he was converted to Christ, he would have lived an easy life. But he went through all of this for Christ. And he was grateful that he had the opportunity to do it. You and I are to also find joy even in our suffering. I'm not talking about laughing or smiling during pain and suffering and persecution. I really can't imagine Jesus laughing or smiling while he was beaten or while he was crucified. We know that he cried out to his Father and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? As he was bearing our sins upon himself. I'm talking about a joy that can look to God and trust him even in the most difficult times of one's life. The kind of joy that Jesus had right before he died. When he said, it is finished. Although Jesus did bow his head and give up his spirit after making that statement, it was far more than dying that Jesus meant. He had finished everything his Father had sent him to do. And in doing so, he found great joy in his complete submission and obedience. I hope and pray that all of us can say, it is finished, when that time comes for us. I'm going to share a few passages with you from the book of Psalms. These are just a few that are in that book, but I think they have great import for us today. In Psalm chapter 16 and verse 1, you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. In Psalm 30, verses 4 and 5. Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may last for the night, but a shout of joy comes in the morning. Those difficult times will pass, and we will be joyful when they do. In Psalm 32, in verse 11, I didn't put that there for some reason. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones, and shout for joy, all you who are upright in heart. In Psalm 90, verses 14 through, that should be 15. Oh, satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us and the years we have seen evil. In Psalm 95, verses 1 through 3, Psalmist says, O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms, for the Lord is a great God. Then in Psalm 126, verse 5, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed, shall again come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. He's saying sometimes we get discouraged when we try to talk to people about the Lord and they don't want to hear what we have to say and what the Lord has to say. But he says, don't quit. Keep on. The Lord will bless you. In Psalm 149, verses 4 and 5, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will satisfy the afflicted ones with salvation. Let the godly ones exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. And then there are a number of passages that are also in the New Testament. I just want to share a few of those with you. The first is found in John chapter 15, verse 9 through 11. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. So how do we have the joy of Christ in our hearts? Well, he says, when you love me. And when you love me enough to follow my commandments, you're going to have my joy. In Romans chapter 15, beginning in verse 13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4, great is my confidence in you. Great is my boasting on your behalf. I am filled with comfort. I am overflowing with joy in all our affliction. And of course, the passage that we're all familiar with, James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And then finally, Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. Paul, from prison, writes these extremely encouraging words. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I am afraid that some Christians have not learned the joy of serving the Lord in his kingdom. Some might perceive fulfilling the will of God to often be inconvenient or impractical or even burdensome. They may attend church services reluctantly or irregularly because they want to keep their ticket to heaven activated. They may even put a token amount in the collection plate, but not according to the measure in which the Lord has blessed them. They want their name to be listed on the church roll and their picture in the church directory, but they don't have the time or energy or inclination to be involved in the work of the church. If we learn anything from this lesson at all, I hope it's this last point. Surely, if the Lord could find joy in dying on the cross for you and for me, surely we can find joy in serving him every day. The joy of Jesus Christ on the cross. If there's anyone here this morning who needs to respond to the invitation of our Lord Jesus, we hope that you will do that now while you have the opportunity and while we stand and sing.